Right, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Those who are listening to us, if you have a question, please give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at vftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello or come, say hello, whatever. We stopped last time at verse 21. Let's begin by 20, 21, 22, get a little bit of a background. Start with verse 20, 27, 20. And when neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Why verse number 20? What type of a storm was this? Just a little tiny one?
It's a typhoon.
Typhoon, very serious one, wasn't it? And what was their hope? Did they have any hope?
No.
No? What is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ who is
our
hope, that's right. And what about his coming in the rapture? What's that called?
The blessed
hope. Looking for that blessed hope.
I don't remember that.
What is that?
I don't remember him being the hope.
Looking for the blessed hope.
The Christ, God, our hope. Yes, the God, our hope.
Okay.
That's in scripture somewhere. I don't know the exact reference.
Christ should be the hope of glory.
Titus. Is it Titus?
3:5.
Titus 3:5. Christ, our hope.
No, they're looking for the blessed hope.
Oh, the blessed hope. That's 2:11, 2:12. Yeah, Titus 2:11, 2:12, 2:13, long in the year.
Well, by Christ in me, the hope of glory, is that? Is
Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's another
one. Colossians,
is that? I never thought of him as being.
It's in
Colossians.
That's in Colossians, Christ, I think. Yeah. So, but they had no hope. They were hopeless. And it's interesting. What was Paul's response to that? Was he immediately say something, or was he wait a while?
Long absence.
Yeah, all that. And in fact, in verse number 21, that's right, there's long absence. And what did he say? We mentioned last week, too.
I told you so.
That's right. You should have hearkened unto me, not loose, to gain this harm and loss. Now, Paul had the gift of prophecy, didn't he? Now, he knew exactly what was going to happen. That gift is not with us. We've got the Bible completed. The gift of prophecy is not with us. He knew the future. He knew exactly what was going to happen. God informed him that, didn't he? And then in verse 22, what do you do now? After
he exhorted them.
What does it mean to exhort someone?
Encourage them.
Encourage them, all right. Do all of us need encouragement?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Do all of us necessarily want to receive encouragement?
I don't think so.
We think so, but some maybe...
Not necessarily.
What did he exhort him to be?
Of good cheer.
In other words, with somebody with no hope, how can he be of good cheer?
They can't.
It's sort of difficult, isn't it? So they got to straighten out their hope.
Somebody's going to give them some good news.
Yes. And now, two people tonight, as I talked and asked them for the hymns for the evening, two different ones. They're very strong and fearing of what's happening in this country, in the whole world. It's a mess, and everything, all the things are coming up. And we've got to have hope. We've got to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what comes around us, in our government or wherever other place. But they had no hope, but he gave them cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, what does it mean to be of good cheer? Oh, excuse me, Pastor Dan.
Here's some verses on hope. I had the previous
right.
one. You have the one in Colossians 1:27,
mm-hmm.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, the hope
we
of glory.
We have one in 2 Timothy 2:16. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19,
mm-hmm.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Aren't even ye in his presence, our Lord Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ, at his coming?
Our hope.
Mm-hmm. We're looking for the blessed hope in Titus 2:13. And there's a couple other ones here, but Those are the main ones, I suppose.
And how about Christ who is our hope? Is that somewhere that you find out? Our hope.
Our hope. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Which is our hope. Good. So we have hope. We're not hopeless. Be of good cheer. And let's say, what does that mean? Be of good cheer.
Be encouraged.
Encouraged. There's a little chorus we used to sing years ago. Something about rejoice ye the saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you be afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember Jesus Christ or something like that. Look up. Be cheer. Be cheery and cheerful and have hope that things are going to be better than they are right now, presently. And so that's important, God. We know that. See, give good cheer, exhort them. So now what does he say about the future? Again, being a prophet of the Lord, what did he know was going to happen or not happen? What did he say?
Nobody's going to lose their life.
Nobody's going to lose their life. But what's going to happen?
They're going to lose the ship.
Lose the ship. See, is again, the gift of prophecy that he had, he knew the future, God showed him very clearly. All these things were coming back, and they didn't care. They didn't care about it. They just went on their own way, just thinking their own thing. But he knew. God showed him very clearly. Was Paul right or wrong about this?
He's right.
He's absolutely right. Let's read verse number 25, 26, and 27.
That's 23, 24, 25.
Oh, we forgot. All right. I skipped through. That's right. 23, 4, and 5. Thank you, Bill. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou hast fought before Caesar, and for God hath given him all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. 3, 4, and 5, I guess I read one too many. All right, just 2, 3, and 4, all right. We started with 23, right? So what did Paul experience here in this verse?
Presence of an angel.
Presence of an angel. He stood by me. So he was in touch with the Lord and the Lord's angels, and he stood by him. What does he say about his relationship to God?
He belongs to him.
He belongs to him. Whose I am. What else did he say?
And whom I serve.
Whom I serve. Now, do all people that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ necessarily serve him?
No.
No, that's sad, isn't it? But he says, whose I am, whom I serve. Now, Paul, even in the storm, ready to smash the ship and all be destroyed, but the lives, he still served the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? And he belongs to the Lord. Now, once you belong to the Lord, do you ever lose that belonging? Do you ever lose the belonging, the true belonging of the Lord and salvation? Can anybody take that away from you?
No.
No. As it says in John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. I am my Father, I want. So they see in the hand of the Lord Jesus, hand of the Father. And so he said that he's going to be there, and God's going to be with him, whose I am and whom I serve. Then what did the angel say in verse 24 to Paul?
Fear not.
Fear not. So he told the people, be of good cheer, and the angel said, fear not. So would that be a case of fearing with that mess, that thing there? Would that be a condition that you would normally be fearing? Absolutely. Of all kinds. A storm. All hope was gone. They're hopeless. They're ready to be packed ashes into the sea and killed. But fear not. What did the angel tell about Paul? What did he tell Paul was going to happen to him?
He's going to be brought
before Caesar. Where were Caesar's throne?
Rome.
In Rome. And as we said before, we get the picture of the map here, if I get my pointer out here. If I can find it. Pocket back here. I got it. Here's Paul. He sailed from this point to this point, and here he said, because going like this, and then the Isle of Storm is over here, lands over over here, believe it, the shipwreck, is going to go up to Rome, way up to Rome, Italy. And so that's what was guaranteed right there in the storm. We don't know when the angel crib room, whether it's here or here or here, how far away he was. All I know, he stood in the roof of Crete, he did, and the storm came up, and God says, you're going to appear before Caesar at Rome. Very important. And what does it say, again, the promise of verse 24 that he repeats?
That's
all that's there with you. Nobody's going to be killed. Now, you see a little bit later in the chapter, they tried to escape and so on, and if you escape, you're not got to go to the future, so had to cut them off. But all that with thee. Now, that's again a prophetic picture. Paul knew the angel told him, and God told him, very revealed and very clear to him. Then in verse 25, again, he repeats himself. What did he say again to the men?
And
be of good cheer. What else? What does the word for mean here?
Because.
What was true of Paul's reason? I believe God. Is everyone who's a genuine Christian necessarily always believe God? No. Where do we find God that we can believe today?
In
the Scriptures, in the Bible. Is it necessary to be the right Bible? Mm-hmm. Yes, it should be the right Bible. Otherwise, God's words are not there. But we've got to believe in God. And this is important. Trust Him, believe in Him, no matter what. Is God faithful to us?
Absolutely.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from righteousness, but He's faithful. God is a faithful God. Sirs, I believe God. What else did He say about these people in verse 25? He believed God in what way? To what extent?
Even as it was told him.
It was told me. But what God told me is going to come to pass. I believe him, see. And what are the two things that are going to come to pass for sure?
Everybody's going to be saved.
And
the ship
is going to be wrecked. Now, you normally think if the ship is going to be wrecked, how can people be saved? See, but God's going to work it out. Two things, he repeated. Even though it was told me. And that's the thing, we've got to believe what God tells us in the Scriptures, the Word of God. We've got to believe it. It's true. Does the world around us believe the Scriptures? Does the world around us? No, they don't believe anything about it. See, it's a sad thing. But we must trust and believe that. Let's read verse 26, 27, 28 together. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, and about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again. It was 15 fathoms. Like verse 25, verse 26, rather. What did Paul tell the people was going to happen to them?
They're going to be on a certain island.
And of course, that island was going to be in Melita, which is now Malta. Melita. But he knew it was going to be an island. So just say, what if there were no island there, see?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be terrible. That's God's promise. In other words, there was land, and the ship was going to come right to that little island. Not a big island, just a little island. But it's going to be an island, and that's in verse 26. And then verse 27, how long were they on this ship?
Two
weeks. 14th night. And they were driven up and down in Adria, which is close by. I don't know where that's listed anywhere. It says it was somewhere in this area. It doesn't say where Adria is on this map. And what happened when they were driven through Adria?
They figured out they were close to the land.
Okay. And about midnight, the shipmen knew that they were near some country, some land. They could feel it, see it. And so they must have gotten that much sleep. They were at midnight. They still weren't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be, Adam?
Well, I was just looking at the map.
Okay.
And to the east of Italy is the Adriatic Sea.
Uh-huh.
So do you suppose?
Adriatic Sea. Yeah. Hey,
so
maybe
Adria. Could that be referring to the Adriatic
Sea? That could be Adria. That's good. But Adria, maybe when they came a certain place right here,
the footnote says.
Like this, Adriatic Sea. Could be right when I got to that point right there. That was probably Adriatic Sea. Yeah, could be. That's good. When they got to Adria, that was there now. 14th, they're up late, midnight, and they thought they were coming to some country. And then verse 28, What does that mean? They sounded. What's that mean?
Threw out some kind of anchors and all this to tell how deep it is.
How deep it is. It wasn't that they were deaf or anything. They sounded. They just checked the depth. What? How deep was it when they first sounded?
20 fathoms.
And how much in a fathom?
No clue.
Pardon me?
I don't know.
Five or six feet.
5 or 6 feet, something like that. So there were, we know that there were 15 fathoms. And then that would put you in the 20 fathoms in verse 26. But later on, at the end of that verse, what did it go down to when it went a little further?
15.
So what does that mean? Oh, excuse me, Tammy.
The footnote says 1 fathom is about 6 feet.
6 feet, good. 6 feet to a fathom. So 6 times 15 would be what?
90.
And 6 times 20 would be what?
120.
120. So 120 down to 90.
Yvonne? Well, you say I can't fathom that. You know, you use fathom.
Yeah.
But it's the same spelling, the same
word? Yes, same word. It's too deep for me. I can't fathom. I see that's deep.
Okay.
That's what that means.
Exactly.
That's right. So it got from 120 feet deep to 90 feet deep. So they knew that they were coming close to some land. I'm glad for that, because there was no land. How could they be spared the storm? They just float away. So God knew exactly what he was doing. Did we read 29 yet or not?
No.
Well, let's read 29, 30, and 31 together. Then, fearing lest their ships had fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they were to cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now verse 29. What was the fear at this point when they saw from 120 feet to 90 feet? What was their fear in verse 29? The rocks, the shipwreck, right in the rocks. So what did they do to try to avoid that?
Cast their anchors.
Okay. How many?
Four.
Now, probably one each of the ship. But what does an anchor do?
Hold
it steady, if possible, so it doesn't drive. How many feet down would that anchor have to go? And how many feet in the line?
At least 90
or more. And hope that'll drag them and stop them being pushed so hard. Now, they must have had big anchors, because that was a ship. There was a lot of people in that ship.
Exactly.
They cast. What else after they cast the anchors? What else did these people on the ship do or say or think?
They wish for the day.
They wish for the day. What time of night was this?
It was, originally, last time we heard it was midnight.
Midnight, see, so they just were hoping, please, a little bit of light. You know, the darkness, when you're afraid of something coming, especially a storm, is it more fearful in the day or more fearful in the night? The night, because you don't know what's happening, just darkness. They've wished for the day. And then in verse 30, now the shipmen, who would those be?
The crew.
Probably the crew. What were they about to do?
Jump ship.
They wanted to jump ship, absolutely. And what did they do in order to make that effective?
Put down a boat,
a little dinghy or some kind of boat into the sea. Was it open and above board, or was it sort of a shifty thing and a secret thing?
Pretending.
Yeah, pretending. Under color. What does that mean, under color?
They pretended.
We're not. They're sneaky a little bit. As though they would have what done what?
Cast anchors out of the foreship.
And where's the foreship?
Bow.
That's the bow, in the front of the ship, see? So they just were as if they were cast anchors. And then verse 31, what did Paul say to the centurion? By the way, how many men were under the centurion?
100 men.
What did Paul say to that centurion?
And to the soldiers, too.
If you don't stay in the ship, you're going
to
not survive.
Again, Paul, being the prophetic man, he knew exactly what God had spelled out to the detail. And he knew exactly. God showed him, see? And he told that centurion, and in effect, he said what? If this crew leaves, what's going to happen?
Everybody's dead.
Everybody's dead. Now, that's interesting. God wanted to save every single person on that ship. He wanted to show his miracle. And it was a miracle. A tempest like that, to have anybody spared. That's a very great miracle. He wanted to be sure that God would be pleased with that. So all of you would be taken off. Let's read 32, 33, and 34 together. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that she has carried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you. That's three verses?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So then, verse 32, what the soldiers do then when the centurion told? What if the centurion's men had not obeyed him? What would happen?
What do you mean?
What if they hadn't obeyed him? They would have perished. The whole family would have died. But they did. And so they cut off the ropes of the. Now.
They let her go with the wind?
They cut off the ropes. What does that show us?
They had ropes.
Had ropes, what else? Sure, that's true.
Well, the boat was gone.
Boat was gone. I see. What does it say in Romans 13:14? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill in the lust thereof. Now, if you had the boat right there, the temptation would be to hold that rope, or that boat rather, see? Mm-hmm. Cut it off. Make no provision, see?
They believed Paul,
didn't they? And they did it. They cut that thing off. That showed their real faith, didn't it? That showed. It's one thing not to lower the boat and to go into the boat.
That's a little boat they're talking about.
Well, it's a little dinghy type of boat.
Because something. It talked in verse
3. It's
30. Okay.
Yeah, verse 30.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's a small little boat to let down for the bigger boat, see?
Okay.
And let her fall off. What's that mean? Let who fall off?
The boat.
All right. In other words, let the boat just drift with the wind, see? Don't try to shift it, don't try to guide it, just let the Lord take it with a swing.
Excuse me.
Yeah, fine.
Is that to lighten the load on the boat?
What is that, honey?
That they let the boat go, the little boat.
Well, they just did not go, so they make no provision, so those soldiers wouldn't try to get in there and get away, see?
Okay.
That's what they really want to do, is get away in that boat. Now, let me ask you this. Sure. If they've been in that little boat, what might have happened to them in the little boat?
Drowned.
I mean, this is a big storm, see? That was a ridiculous thing.
Okay,
it's from a frying pan into the fire. Mm-hmm. Really, it was more horrendous than staying on the big boat.
Right.
See? But they didn't think that through. They just wanted to escape somehow, and God said no. So they cut off the lines and just let the boat go right down the little. What verse are we on now? Verse
33.
Okay. And now, while the day was coming, what was Paul's attitude? What did he do at that point?
He
besought them. What does besought mean?
He pleaded with them
and urged them to take me. Why did he want them to eat?
Because they were hungry.
But how long had it been since they'd eaten anything?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 14 full days. And the 14th day,
he probably knew that they were going to need it for what was coming.
What was coming, they needed it. Was there still food on the ship?
Yes, there's food.
Yes, they had something there. So just take the. Now, if there are 100 soldiers, the centurion with 100, and all these other passengers and the prisoners, there's a good number of people on that boat. But, so, in verse 34, take some meat, it's your fourth day, from the head. Now, what did he promise again? This is for your, what? What is the reason for that?
Oh, we're
for
on your, verse 33.
I'm sorry, 33, I'm sorry.
Oh, but maybe we finished.
No, we have embassy. They continued for fasting. Had taken nothing for these 14 days, two whole weeks. Now, you get a little hungry, I'm sure, in 2 weeks.
You'd think they'd eat something.
Well, maybe they're afraid.
How could they not eat for 2 weeks?
Seasick.
Seasick, maybe. Could be seasick.
They were so fearful that they
were fearful, yeah. Okay.
As long as you have water, I mean, you can be okay without, I mean, semi-okay.
Uh-huh.
You won't die without food for... Mm-hmm. A number of weeks.
That's true.
As long as you have water.
So they probably had some water aboard. Maybe they drank the water.
The storm was so bad that they couldn't.
Well, could be.
They had all they could do to stay on the ship without sliding off.
But so Paul, in verse 34, urged them, he besought them in the previous version, here I pray you take some meat. For what reason did he say?
Your health.
Your health. And then what did he promise again? A third time, not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. In other words, all of you are going to be spared. Nobody's going to die. Take care of it. And then, did we read 35?
Is it?
No, I guess we didn't.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, let's read.
When you see fall, not a hair fall, there's no A there.
Not Anhair.
Anhair. Not Anhair.
It's the British.
Oh.
It looks like FLL.
Because it's pronounced, sometimes it's...
The FAL, mean in your Bible?
You mean in this?
Oh, in the printing.
Oh, in the printed.
Oh,
I just thought it was from the whichever Bible you got.
3:4?
There's no A in it.
Oh, yes, I must have missed that. So it didn't work. But in the Bible, it's all right. All right, so not a hair. Now, in other words, the men that have hair are not going to become hairless. What does this mean? What type of a meaning is this not a hair will fall?
I got to be hurt.
In other words, it's a figure of speech, isn't it? You know, you're going to be spared. And not anything, not even any harm at all. Not even the hair of your head. See, much less a finger or hand or anything.
Their hair
might
have turned white from fright and time,
That could be. The hair is a number. Hairs in your head are a number. And the Lord knows the hair. He knows the hair, the number of the hairs. And he knows about the hairless people too. All right. So then, not a hair shall fall. Now, do we read that 35. What happened when he spoke and told them about this next? What's next?
He took bread. He took bread.
And after he took the bread, what did he do?
He thanked
to God in the presence of them all. He believed in thanking the Lord for the food. Mm-hmm. And there may be a lot of people that I'm sure were heathen people. They didn't have any thanksgiving, but he thanked the Lord.
So he ate in front of them to show them how to eat, I guess.
And when he had broken it, broken what?
The bread.
The bread. So it must be a big loaf. He broke it. And then what did he do?
He began to eat.
All right. Then, did we read 36?
Not yet.
Now read 36, 37, and 38 together. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were on all of the ship, 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. All right, 6, 7, 8, is that what it is? Okay. Now again, this word of good cheer. First he told them to be of good cheer. Now were they of good cheer here?
Yeah.
They were good
cheer. They got something to eat.
They had something to eat and they were happy. They're not necessarily were Christians, but at least they had a little bit of food and they were of good cheer. And they also took some meat. In other words, Paul showed them what to do. Probably some of them said, I'm not going to eat anything, I don't feel like it. Paul here said, you go ahead and eat. He urged them. And then, how many were in that ship?
276.
276, 260, 260, and 16, that's 276. 276 people, that's a big ship. It's
101, counting the centurion of the soldiers, and 75 of the rest of the people.
101, and then
175.
175 the rest of them, that's good. That's good. And then verse 38, we read it, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when they had eaten enough, what's that mean?
They were full.
As the Germans say, Hopsat.
Hopsat, the Germans say?
Hopsat.
Okay. They were full. What did they do then?
Threw the wheat overboard.
Okay. Why did they lighten the ship, you think?
Because less chance of sinking.
Because as the wind blows and so forth, there could be the weight of the wheat could shift. Once that shift to one side, that thing could keep on going. See, so they want to get all out of the out of the underparts of the ship, cast into the sea. And then did we read 39?
No.
Okay, let's read 39, 40, and 41. And when it was day, they drew in out the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded for possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. All right, in verse 39, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what happened when it was day?
They discovered a certain creek.
All right, they said a certain creek with a shore.
That's got to be a big creek.
Must be a big creek, absolutely. they discovered it
with a shore
into which. What they want to do about that creek?
They
in that shore.
Put the ship
go
in.
For it.
Well, go for it. That's right. You want to go for it, if possible, to thrust in the ship. So in verse 40, what did they do after they realized they wanted to go there?
They took up the anchors.
How many anchors did they put down?
Four.
Okay. Took up those four anchors, and what they said, what did they do after that?
Committed themselves to the sea.
What does that mean, committed themselves to the sea? In other words, the anchors, what were the anchors doing?
Holding them back.
Holding back. You know, they weren't going so fast. I mean, the tempest still probably dragged them, but they were going slower.
Right.
But now, get rid of those anchors, and what else? If they got the rims of the anchors.
They had rubber bands with them.
What is that?
Rudder bands, excuse me.
Okay. They loosed the rudder bands. In other words, apparently they had the rudder band maybe tight. So rudders, things that guide the ship, either this way, that way.
Wouldn't move, right. I guess, huh?
What is that?
They were banded so the rudder wouldn't move?
Yeah, probably, so they keep it straight. So you just sort of wouldn't go around, otherwise it would be a terrible situation. They'd probably tied it down. Now they let it go, remove the rudder bands, and what do they also do in verse 40?
Hoist
the mainsail up. Now they have mainsail, probably little jibs, other little tinier sails, the mainsail, and to the wind. And what else?
It must have been exciting.
Make sure. What is that, honey?
It must have been exciting when the wind got a hold of that.
Oh, well, I'm sure. See, now, then with the rudders and the wind, they could direct themselves right. They want aiming right at the shore. And then in verse 41, they fall into a place where what?
Two seas
men.
Can you find two seas up there?
Well, let's see if there's two seas men. I don't know whether...
Just
a ship of Melita, there's no species.
But up there where Anna sat up in the...
Well, this is Adriatic Sea. Oh, no. See,
the Adriatic spills into the Mediterranean.
The Adriatic spills into the Mediterranean.
So it's when say when the...
There's the two seas.
In the map, there's no two seas. But apparently, there's two different...
There.
Maybe there's two little tributaries, two little islands, different things like that. But the two seas met. And what did they do then after they found this place?
Ran the ship around.
They just all the way, just knocked it right into the land. So, do you think they were happy to have something firm?
Yeah.
I'm sure they were happy. Finally,
well,
what's the
answer? It crashed. It was terrible.
Yes?
It wasn't exactly firm. then there were problems because the front part was stuck, but the back part was
loose. That's right.
Yeah,
but the ship remained how? What did it say?
Unmovable.
Meaning they were stuck right there firm. But the hinder part, what's that mean?
The stern
broken with the violence of the waves. In other words, the bow was in all right.
The water was messing with
the ground, I guess.
They crashed in.
Let's read 42, 3, and 4. We'll finish that chapter. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which should swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All right, what was the soldiers' counsel to do? What did they want to do?
Kill the prisoners.
What did Paul say to start with?
We're not going to die.
Not a hair in your head. Nobody. Everybody's going to beat it. So this would be contrary to what God had told Paul was going to happen.
They were thinking of themselves. Because if the prisoners got loose, it was their necks in the middle.
That's right. They would be killed. Mm-hmm. Unless they ever should escape and swim. And then in verse 43, what did the boss man, the centurion, say?
I don't know.
He was willing to save Paul and told him to not do it.
He kept them from their purpose. It's a wonderful thing. The centurion must have loved Paul, must have really respected Paul. He knew that Paul was a Christian. He knew he was there to go to Rome to be tried and to save Paul. There must have been a real fraternal relationship between this centurion and Paul. And what did centurion do then? In verse 43.
The people who could swim should go ashore.
Okay. Commanded them. If you can swim, go ahead. Cast around the seas and get the land. And,
and
what about the rest that we couldn't swim?
In verse 43. They grabbed
boards and some broke a piece of the ship. Came to pass that how many escaped safe?
I think
everyone.
All. God's promise was fulfilled. That word boards. I remember Dr. M. R. DeHaan, the founder of the Radio Bible Class, he used to say about the boards, you know, these church boards, that word board does not occur except one time. That's a board right here. He's against his board, his church board, he's around his class, everybody else, his church boards. This is it right here. All right, any other comments or questions? Now, Pastor Dan's going to take over next Thursday. We're going to be here in the morning service, preach the Sunday morning, then we're going to leave to go up to North Jersey. He's going to take over the afternoon Bible study, and then he'll be here. So he'll start with chapter 28. That's good. And any other comments or questions before we close tonight?
Oh, we need new things?
No, we're all right. Oh, yeah, we do need new things. We finish this thing, that's right. I'll get back to that in the new chapter 28. I'll make it clear tonight. Any other comments at all? Yes,
Mary. You know, when we had started this, I had been thumbing around through the TV trying to find something worthwhile.
Uh-huh.
I'm not interested in fishing, but they had that show about the boats that go out, the big boats,
uh-huh.
and they do this fishing.
Uh-huh.
And boy, they get out there in some of those storms. And those fishing boats are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they get tossed around like a little dish floating on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Deadliest catch.
They just really, deadliest catch it's called.
Mm.
And these men that have to stand on the deck, they have to tie themselves to the metal pieces.
Uh-huh.
So that, because the waves just come right on up over the whole ship.
Yes.
And they just, if they are not tied, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
And I was thinking of that when I saw that. I was thinking
That's a storm right here. Got that storm? Good. Any other comments or questions about the storm? Well, let's close the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that Paul was told by thee and by the angel that everybody would be safe.
Mm-hmm.
He believed thee. And we ask thee that thou wouldst help us to believe thee in thy words. Thou dost know the end from the beginning. Thou knowest what's going to happen in this wicked world. Thou knowest that thou hast put those of us who genuinely trusted our Savior in thy hand, in thy care. We thank you, Lord, that thou wilt preserve us unto everlasting life into heaven above without any problem, without any question. We thank thee that Paul was honored, and the glad that the centurion honored Paul. And he did not want anybody to be killed. Terrible that these soldiers wanted to kill all these prisoners. We thank thee for thy grace. Could be with us, Lord, on the Lord's day. Help us to love thee and serve thee the rest of our days. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
What if that centurion was the same centurion that Paul had?